What if your reoccurring nightmare occurred to more than just you? Would you have the courage to stay in a room with a dark entity? Can an older encounter haunt a person years later? Today we test the believability of the Hampton Oppression.
Welcome to Believing the Bizarre,
where we dive into the unknown and the unusual
and tell you whether or not we find it believable.
That is right. Okay, so this is a listener submission episode. I've got two listener submissions. If you want your listener submission on the podcast, please go to believingthebizarre.com, where you can go to the Submit My Experience, and we'll get to it in 5 years.
That's not true.
No. Only three.
6 years. No, we're like a year behind.
Yeah.
But that's maybe true. maybe we'll churn through these. You do kind of have your phone directly in front of my face. Face. Like I can't see you. We got rid of all the other mic stuff that we used to have. There we go. Can you still read it or no?
Yeah. Hold on. You know, I'm still set up for the other thing.
The other thing.
Yeah.
The other stuff.
This is a little how's that better?
Yeah. If you as long as you can read it.
Yeah, know? This is fine. The first story is short. This is short first story.
It's good to put the short ones up front because they submit it to us. We want them to get their airtime.
Yeah.
They can't carry an episode. So like we always – they're like the previews.
Yeah. So let's watch the preview first and then we'll get into the next story.
The feature film.
Trigger warning of familial abuse. So this is from Haley from Tampa, Florida. Now, she said that it happened in 2006 when she was about 3 years old, and this is when her experience started. It lasted until she moved out, basically, in 2018.
Oh, so this is 12 years?
Yeah.
Dang.
So, a little background. She lived in Daddy City, Florida.
What?
Daddy. D-A-D-E. I'm not sure if it's pronounced that way.
That sounds like...
I'm gonna call it Daddy.
Yeah, no, that sounds like... I'm trying to think of like, it sounds like a reality TV mansion, you know? It's like we entered four women into Daddyville who are going to see if they can win over the ultimate daddy, you know?
Daddy, Florida.
I guess.
Daddy City, baby. 30 minutes out of Tampa. So she's near Tampa.
Okay.
From 2006.
That's where Tom Brady lives now.
All the way into that, about 2013, she experienced a dream. Now, the dream she started to experience every night for years was of a boy crawling out of her toy box in her chest. The boy would contort himself into impossible ways, bending and snapping his body. It made Haley feel like it was inhuman. Then he would crawl up to the bed where Haley was laying, and she would typically hide under the covers. As she got a little bit older, she got a cell phone, as kids do now. And
she's probably like seven.
And it started to work its way into her psyche in her dreams as well. Because in her dreams, she would get these texts from an unknown number saying things like, quote, run, you're in danger.
What?
Mm-hmm. Although as Haley grew up, she felt more skeptical about the whole situation, saying, quote, these dreams eventually stopped. And when I look back to them, I pin them on a child's wild act of imagination, end quote. However, in the back of her house, there was a bedroom, and Haley's hackles were always up in this space. She said, quote, I always got a creepy, heavy feeling when I was in the hallway in the back bedroom, but assumed it was me being paranoid, end quote. She continued to be skeptical and kept her feelings and dreams to herself because it was an abusive household. Haley's younger brother, let's call him Remulus, who was born in 2007, he also... faced similar nightmares as Haley, and by similar, I mean the same. And he slept in the back room of the house.
He slept in the back room. That was the punishment. You didn't eat your vegetables, you're going to the back room.
No.
Hopefully you looked up level 24 and threw him in there.
Like I said, he slept in the back part of the house that caused Haley to be on edge. And he would sometimes refuse to sleep in his own room, in his own bed, because of his dreams. Now, Haley's older brother, Jacoby, and his girlfriend, Tisha, also moved into the house. Letitia and Jacoby ended up talking about how things in the room would randomly fall during the night. And in turn, the mother told the family about her experiences where she woke up to the bed shaking uncontrollably. And at that point, Haley talked about what she experienced, and Remulus talked about what had been haunting him, and it was exactly the same as what Haley went through. Now, the family was very religious, Southern Baptist, and this led them to believe that this was demonic. However, Haley ended this whole experience, this whole email, by saying, quote, "Looking back, it was definitely not demonic. This entity was doing no harm to us and was just present. We got many people to pray, and it didn't stop until we moved when our house was foreclosed. It doesn't make sense to be haunted, though, because the house was built in the 70s. I would love to hear y'all's thoughts on this. Sorry if there's anything." And I think a house in the 70s can be haunted.
Yeah, that's 50 years now.
Yeah, it's
kind of gross to say. I still think mentally the 70s is 30 years ago.
Yeah, it's because time moves and you don't think about it.
Yeah.
But I do think there could have been a haunting, although it reminds me of the dream anyway. It reminds me of The Grudge. So when did that come out? 2004, we said?
Yeah.
So 2004, 2006 is the second one. It's in that realm of where it could have influenced this house.
Influenced the house?
Well, at least those two people.
Okay. You mean the people in the house?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you do decide to go down the road that it is something paranormal, obviously, you know, they didn't get into it, and I'm completely fine that they didn't get into it. But if there was some familial abuse, then obviously there's some type of trauma and negative energy, and you know, believing, going down that path of negative energy, what could that be drawing? You know, or it's like, and not to give whoever was doing the abuse an out, but maybe something
was even worse controlling them.
Yeah, something in the house, like, because in my mind it's like, okay, if this kid is coming out of the toy box, like, did they buy the toy box? Was it used? You know, like, what if, you know, like, that's like in the movie when you open it up and you see that there's like scratch marks on the inside of, you know, the toy box. Like, what if the toy box was there, they just kept it, and you find out the previous family was more abusive, and they, like, whenever the kid acted up, they would just shove him in the toy box and lock it, you know?
Yeah. Or maybe he didn't make it. Maybe that's the ghost.
Or they watched The Grudge, and it was going, and they were like, oh, God. And then they slept, and they saw. I think that the text messages feel completely irrelevant. Like, you're in danger.
Yeah.
I don't see how that would be tied to the boy in the chest at all, since it's years later.
The text messages happened in the dream.
Oh, did they happen in the dream?
Yeah, I wasn't sure. I guess I wasn't clear about that. It happened in the dream.
I might not have been listening.
It worked. The phone worked its way into the dreams.
The phone worked its way into the. I thought the phone worked its way into like the occurrences.
No. No.
Well, technically, yes. But yes. I see what you mean. I see what you mean.
In the dream, she would get text messages saying things like, run, you're in danger.
Okay, well, that could be also her feeling like she is in danger.
It could,
like,
yeah.
She's like disassociated from this other self that's telling her that she's, you know, something else inside of her is trying to alert to her.
Yeah,
but then I don't know the amount of abuse that she was dealing with in her house.
It's true. We don't know the level, and we don't know the trauma that's involved, and we don't know if whatever it was hindering or hurting or helping.
Yeah, but she said it's done since she left.
Yes,
good.
I don't think it was demonic, though.
And it didn't.
You know what? I don't have a way of knowing.
No. Well, we're going off of what we think based on what we've learned about demonic stuff. So I would say I would agree with you because it doesn't seem to ramp up. It just kind of is.
Mm-hmm.
And no one was harmed unless it was affecting people in the family certain ways. But we can't. There's no way we can know that. So. And she seems pretty sure that it wasn't demonic and she lived through it. So
that's true. That's true.
We'll take her for her word for it.
So this is our next encounter. This is the rest of the episode. And this comes from our listener, Corey. And he goes through a lot. Also in Florida.
Also in Florida. Is that the connection?
Yeah. It's Florida.
Just play the plot to bomb the panhandle in the background.
It's a great song. I would watch them again. I would see them again.
Yeah.
Oh, they're still touring, right?
I don't know.
I hope so.
Their bassist is gone.
Did he die?
No.
Oh.
No, he got canceled.
Oh,
he was
no.
Accused of some bad things with some younger girls.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Mm.
Not saying it's true. Not saying it's not true. But I got caught off guard, and this is completely not relevant. But I was on their Facebook page, and their background, I think there was some merch where it had four of them. I was like, what? And then I went on their Facebook and the background was just four of them. And I was like, did someone quit? No. And then I did a little digging. And I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So the story comes from Corey from Florida, also from Florida. That's the connection.
That's the connection. There it is.
Yes.
Is he an alligator?
He might be. I'm not sure. Actually, it might be a really different twist if he was.
That changed the whole perspective of this episode if he's an alligator.
Yeah.
I'm actually a crocodile.
In 2003, Corey was around 8 years old, and he had this typical non-supernatural life until then. He also had a best friend named Alex, which, you know, same.
You can associate.
Yeah.
Not associate. You could
relate.
Relate. Yes. Not even close to associate.
No. They grew up on a 1 mile long dirt road in a small town called Sampson City, Florida. Roughly a week after Corey had turned 8, he was over at Alex's house while Alex's parents were away, and the two younger boys, 8 and 9, were left to babysit Alex's 5-year-old sister. Now, all the kids were in Alex's room when they heard a strange crash from the living room. Corey and Alex creeped along the hallway in the living room to get where they heard the sound, and then they stopped frozen in their tracks in horror. Corey described what they saw, and he said, quote, "What stood before us could only be described as evil incarnate. Levitating 2 feet off the ground and about 8 feet tall was a black, transparent figure with a shape I can't quite describe," end quote. Now, the boys were terrified, and Corey's ears were ringing, and they stared at this thing, and its glowing red eyes stared right back, giving off an aura of hate. It floated in front of the fireplace like some kind of evil blot. The boys were unable to speak or move, but Corey felt himself being inevitably drawn in closer and closer to this monster. Before Corey could get there, Alex's sister came around the corner, and she also saw this thing floating. She screamed and ran to the door, and just as she opened it, Alex's parents came in. Before the parents could see this thing, of course, it disappeared. It disappeared as though it were ash flying away. It left a 3-foot circle of soot in front of the fireplace behind it. Now, Corey just left the house wordlessly in a state of confusion after it had gone. Corey told his mom about what he saw, and she told him it was evil. And, quote, "God won't allow them to harm you," end quote. Corey took what his mom said, but it still took a few days for the nightmares to fade. 2 weeks after the incident, Alex came over Corey's house running while Corey's family was sitting on the porch. Alex was screaming and crying as tears fell. And it took a moment for the family to understand, but when they saw the black smoke bellowing from the clouds from Alex's house, they quickly figured it out. His house was on fire. Corey's dad was a bit of a hero, and without thinking, he bolted off to Alex's. He found Alex's younger sister incapacitated on the floor from smoke inhalation and managed to get her outside just before the house was engulfed in flames. The house and surrounding area was devastated by the fire. Shortly after this, Corey's family moved about 20 miles away to Hampton, Florida. And that is where we'll take a break. So after this move is when things get significantly worse for Corey. So they moved into their new house in Hampton. And Corey's dad decided he needed to do a chore. And this is the first chore he needed to do. And that was to take some branches off the giant oak tree in the yard. His father attached a 30-foot ladder to this 50-foot tree. And he started to climb, and he got to the first limb.
Sounds terrifying.
Mm-hmm. And almost as soon as he started, Corey and his sister, who were in the yard, watched the ladder seemingly jerk to the left. The siblings screamed to try to grab their father's attention, but he could not hear them over the chainsaw, and he did not see the ladder move.
He was on the ladder, though, wasn't he?
Yeah, but he didn't, like... I think he's half in, half on, like on the limb too.
Okay. See, I feel like he would know before they would know.
Yeah, but he didn't notice. So,
not to interrupt, but is it bad that I'm getting more like my heart's going more about the height and then like the big black shadow thing?
No.
Like this, I guess it's because I've experienced
height. This sets it up to be scary because it's well told.
Even if nothing scary happened, climbing a 30-foot ladder is scary.
Oh, something happens.
Okay.
There was no wind at all that day. And so there was no reason why. But again, they saw the ladder shift further away from the tree, and then it fell. And with that, the chainsaw was yanked from their father's hands, and he fell after he hit his head on the tree. He fell all of the 30 feet and landed onto a picnic table that was only a few feet away from where the ladder was. And when he landed, he bounced off the table and was, quote, rolled underneath the picnic table.
Oh, dude, I thought you were going to say chainsaw.
No, no.
Oh, dude, this could have gotten, I mean, this is already bad. This is already bad.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the chainsaw is like the bomb just waiting to go off here.
So just as the two kids were running to their father, the massive trillium that the father was working on cracked and fell onto the table, almost breaking it in two, pinning Corey's father there where he was. Now the firefighters came, and they were able to free him from the pile of splintered wood, and he was life-flighted to the hospital. Miraculously, Corey's father didn't even break a bone.
Wow.
The worst thing that happened to him was a bruised rib.
I need to buy a new ladder.
That's wild, isn't it?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I feel like he's like the dad that's like, hey, can you wheel me to the Home Depot? I need to buy a new ladder. Like that already thinking of the next project, dad.
His uncle actually came and finished it for him.
That's nice.
Which was very kind of him.
He's like, I really don't want to do this anymore. He's like, if I just fall.
Isn't that a wild story?
Yeah. Like, so obviously it's set up to be paranormal because the ladder jerks. Mm-hmm. But that's also just something that could accidentally happen that's still terrifying.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. That was very scary.
That I'm going to think about that the next time. I'm like, if I go three rungs up on a ladder, I start sweating. It's like, oof.
That's in 30 feet.
You see, like, that's why the mysterious staircases are stairs, not ladders. Because they know most people wouldn't climb the ladder. You know what I mean? If I saw a ladder in the middle of the forest, I'm not touching that. Mm-mm. You see staircase, you're like, oh, you know what? Maybe I'll get a nice view at the top.
I can't even like picture how it's high.
30 feet?
Yeah. How many stories is that you think?
If you imagine three basketball courts, not courts, sorry, three basketball hoops on top of each other.
That's pretty tall.
I know. We shifted from football. It's the playoffs. So we're thinking from football to basketball. It's three hoops. It's high. It's high because I've used a ladder to go up to my basketball hoop at home to like change the height and stuff. And even that, you know, when you get up top, I don't know, 30 foot, that's intense.
So after this happened, something changed in Corey's sister. She got depressed. She started to fall into the wrong crowd. She got into drugs, and then she eventually left the house.
Was she like 5?
She was 16.
Oh, Alex's sister was five. I was like, what crowd?
She's like, oh.
At the kindergarten table.
Yo Gabba Gabba was really messed up that year.
She went from the green crayon table to the red crayon table.
The black crayon table.
Yeah. They just used it for eyeliner. Like you listen to American Idiot. It just came out this year. I don't know what year this takes place.
Around this time, also, Corey met a new friend named Marcus. They spent a lot of time together, and one night, the two sat in Corey's room playing games, and they heard this huge bang come from the window. As per the house rules, the bedroom was ajar, or so they thought. When the bang struck the window, the boys ran to the door, only to find that it was shut and locked. As the two boys screamed for help and pried at the lock, Corey could hear his dad from behind the door say, "Stand back." After he cracked the door open, the boys incoherently tried to explain what happened. But Corey's dad put them in the bathroom, and he got his handgun and did a sweep of the house.
Whoa.
After about 30 minutes, he came back and explained that there was no way anything could have touched the window. There were no tracks in the dirt outside the window, and the soil was wet.
I was just imagining, instead of the guy, his dad pulls out a chainsaw. He's like, we're going to make sure no one's in here tonight, boys.
Ash from the Evil Dead?
Yeah.
Corey was taking a bath, and from the hallway, Corey's mother heard his, quote, talking in tongues.
Whoa.
Because he was in the bathroom and he would speak in tongues and talking about praising God. It was strange because he wasn't.
He was talking about praising God.
Praising God and talking in tongues, but it still seemed menacing.
Okay.
And it's even stranger because Corey actually has no memory of this.
Oh.
He doesn't remember it at all. And it's important to mention this because Corey started to feel depression starts to slip on him and anxiety was constantly on him. And he had feelings of being watched in the house. Now, Corey started to go to the doctor, but they couldn't find anything wrong besides slight malnutrition because Corey hadn't been eating or drinking anything because every time he did, he felt, quote, like someone had their hands wrapped around his throat, squeezing it, making it incredibly uncomfortable to swallow, end quote. And that's when the activity started to ramp up even more. When Corey's parents went to bed, the activity would do things like, quote, dishes and pots and pans would be knocked off the counter in the kitchen, and furniture would be rearranged if he went to sleep. and we would wake up hearing chairs sliding across the floor, end quote. Corey's dreams and mental state also got really scary. After the activity started to ramp up, he said that, quote, I'd be shown visions of my family members and close friends both killing and mutilating themselves in front of churches and schools. It was as though something was trying to prevent me from bettering my life or finding any peace, end quote. Whatever paranormal events were happening in Corey's house started to focus on him more explicitly. Another quote from Corey. Things that seemed more personal, like ripping the covers off me while I was asleep or bumping the bed where it would shake for a moment and knocking things off the shelves in my room while I was in there and switching on my TV and auxiliary so that would play static very loudly, end quote. And to me, this sounds like extreme infestation. Do you know what I'm talking about?
The first stage.
Yeah.
Infestation, oppression, possession.
Yeah, this sounds like the first stage of demonic possession to me. And it's going to slide into oppression. It might be sliding into oppression already based on the quiz we talked about. Depression, right, is a symptom of the oppression.
Mm-hmm.
Corey's mother took him to the church, and as soon as he crossed the threshold, the feeling of strangulation hit Corey.
Ugh.
He sat there, hardly able to breathe, and he even got ill during the sermon. After Corey vomited, he went back in the church, and this time he sat there instead. He said, quote, visions and pictures flashed in my head, scenes of violence and destruction, and then I was shown a vision that was most heinous. I saw myself bar the doors of the church with everyone inside, sloshing vats of gasoline at anyone who I could reach, and they were pushing their ways through the pews trying to exit the small church. As soon as I stood before the podium, watching the pastor pray, I outreached my own arms east and west as fire sprouted from my hands and left their boiled forms in the church. End quote. So after he left the church, he was able to breathe again and the stranglehold loosened. Later that night, Marcus and Corey were in the living room playing games and they felt the room go cold with a rush of air. The smell of rotten eggs permeated the house and they heard a huge crash that sounded like a train accident. And that's when the glass door from the backyard shattered. The metal frame was scattered about the floor, and even the baseball bat that Corey's dad put in the track to keep from the doors opening was destroyed. The next day, the family went to the local flea market to find parts to fix the door. Corey and Marcus found a black light to play with at the market. And that night, Corey and Marcus turned it on in Corey's room, and they ran to go get Corey's parents because, quote, underneath the white paint, plain as day as you could see, were cryptic symbols and pentagrams drawn all over the room.
What?
End quote.
Whoa. Could you imagine if they just never got that black light?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
So they moved from a place that had bad juju to another place that had satanic markings written on the walls?
Yeah.
All right, whoever's picking the house in that family, let go of the Zillow. Give it to someone else.
Well, after they found the paint, family fled from the house. They never went back to the house. Family fled from the house and they never went back. They also took Corey to one of the best psychologists in the state. Now, he talked to Corey and his parents, and then he talked to them together. And he told them, quote, that there's some new medication that he wanted to put him on because he thought it could help him. Now, Corey gets really God heavy on us right now. And that's fine. That's his right. That's okay. But I'm going to summarize what he said. He said, with a power and confidence that he never had before, and a confidence that comes with the presence of some higher power, he told the psychologist to f*** off. He said, in quote, sir, with all due respect, if you want someone to take your pills, then you take them. I have a God who can. And the psychologist replied, he said, what God do you speak of? And Corey said, he said, brother, if you do not know God that I speak of, then you are in much more trouble than I am, end quote. And I respect Corey's beliefs here. He says he's spiritual, not religious, which is fair. But he also said about this, what happened to him, which I find very interesting. He said, quote, I also want you guys to understand, me and you guys, as you're reading this, I in no way believe that I was possessed by a demonic entity. However, as an adult looking back at what happened to me, I do believe that I was oppressed by a demonic entity. And I agree with this. I think he was oppressed. I don't know why. I don't know what the trigger was. It could be moving into that house, but it could be something else too. Something we just don't know about. It could be before then in Alex's house.
Yeah. Well, I mean, based on what he found in the house. I don't know, because it's like, did something follow him?
It feels like there's like two triggers. I'm not sure. We'll talk about it in the discussion. But he also said, this thing was doing all it could to break me down and make me turn away from God and turn away from what was right and to follow into depression and despair and fear and to let it win. And I'm not, it's putting a lot on the entity. I'm not sure if I totally agree with that. It seemed like it could have done more. I know Corey went through a lot, but I'm not sure.
Well,
it's
tough because when we talk about like Annalise and we talk about, what was the one?
Gottlieben.
Like those are such extremes.
Yeah. So but those were full possessions though.
They were full possessions. So in a way this seems, and I hate to say it, minor compared to that, but at the same time, it's still really, really horrifying and still really traumatic. So obviously we've seen them do more, so they could do more.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But
although what happened to him was very scary. A lot of those things, the physical things were scary.
So leaving the house, he just got better?
Yeah. That doesn't typically happen.
Not with demonic.
Yeah. He says he has more stories, but that's where he ended this story.
Okay.
So maybe it didn't end there specifically, but maybe that's where he found the religious ending of it.
It's interesting because if you believe the same thing with him from house one to house two, then it feels more demonic because it's a personable attachment.
Mm-hmm.
But if by leaving the house too, he got better, then it's like, what happened? But like you're saying, maybe we don't see the whole picture here.
I think that's probably what happened. Honestly, I think we probably see the movie ending.
Yeah.
Just not how it cleaned up.
Tell the scientist to keep his own medication. I don't need you. I got my beliefs and they're going to carry me through.
Let's talk about this in the discussion. So at this point in the episode, we'd like to stop and thank all those new members that have joined our Patreon since the recording of this episode. And they are Maggie, Rachel, Jessica, Tay, and Leo. Thank you all for joining us on this magical journey. It's been incredible so far. I talk like I'm retiring. But I just want to, thank you. We really do appreciate you because without you guys, we wouldn't be able to do what we're doing.
Tyler, we definitely wouldn't have this space, that's for sure.
That's very true. Or this quality of recording.
Yeah.
Yeah. So with that being said, Tyler, can you tell us a thing about the Patreon you want to highlight?
Sure. Because there's a lot in the Patreon and there's more coming soon. Hint, hint. But one thing I really want to highlight is social media response. So for those of you that follow us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, unfortunately Twitter, you're just kind of there and I'm sorry. We only got so much time, only so much hands. And they're too busy typing stuff out on Instagram and Facebook. But every Monday we do a question, it comes from the brain of producer Ben. And I feel like I'm extra amped on this right now because he's been doing a lot of horror movie type questions.
That's true, yes.
That's my bag. Like I've said before, horror movies are why I'm even doing this podcast. That was my entry into this. And every Monday, a question is asked. Y'all respond to it. And on that Patreon segment, social media response, Ben reads us your answers. We respond to them. We give our thoughts. We talk about your answers, and then we say what we would say, how we would answer these questions. So it's fun. There's a lot of banter. We get to hear your thoughts, and it's funny because like we don't know all these people, but like people start responding every week, every month. And so you'll hear like a username. I don't know if that's what it's
called. In Ben's voice specifically.
Yeah. And it's funny because then I'll read it later on Instagram, and it'll still be Ben's voice in my head. But like I get to know people and their unique personality in a certain way based only on their usernames and the way that they respond to things. Yeah. It's like, oh, I know that. I don't know that person, but I know that name.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really cool. And I like hearing what people say. And I like just the questions. I think they're a lot of fun.
It's always a fun thing to talk about,
too. I always look forward to recording it.
Something else I want to highlight quickly is something I don't think gets a lot of credit. And that is Bizarre News.
Mm.
Bizarre News is a fun little segment where Tyler's like, hey, Charlie, what if I just talk about crazy stuff for like 20 minutes? And I was like, yeah, that sounds awesome. And this past episode, I don't know what the date is on it, but I think it's maybe the funniest content we put out ever.
Ever? I don't know about ever.
I really enjoyed it.
How about recently?
Recently. Okay, I'll give you recently. It was really good.
It's different than other stuff we do because it's only paranormal things pulled from real news outlets. Like it's news. It's not stories.
It's not like a story about a person that was possessed and then priest came. Well, maybe if that was
unless,
in the news.
Unless the news reported it, that's what it is.
Yeah, this is...
Someone's listening to their old podcast, our old podcast, and they're talking about it. And I actually explained where that came from because they're like, I like this segment you guys used to do. And it's like, well, that actually turned into this and this.
They made a reference to the embarrassing stories.
Oh, no. I didn't see that part. Oh. Well,
yeah.
If you want more content like embarrassing stories and fun behind-the-scenes content, Patreon is where to go.
And with that being said, let's get back to the episode. Ooh, I feel like I just talked a lot. Like, I'll, you know what I mean? Like, you feel like you talked a lot?
Yeah.
I feel that in my throat right here.
Yeah. We got a whole another episode to do.
Woo!
Because you're in Scotland.
But I'm not.
That's not Scottish.
What was that accent?
I don't know.
I love it.
Okay.
So Corey's story. We talked about the first one. Talked about Haley's story.
Yeah, I feel good about that one.
Yeah. Let's talk about Corey's story. Did he experience demonic oppression? What happened with the first entity? What happened with the second? We never really saw a physical manifestation of the second entity. Do you think it was the reason why his sister left? I think it was partly involved. And do you think it attacked the father in a sense?
With the tree?
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's a lot of questions there.
There's a lot of questions.
Let's take it one at a time.
With the sister then?
Yeah, let's start there.
I would love to hear her perspective because this is from Corey, but she started feeling oppression first, didn't she?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or infestation.
She might have started to, we don't know if she was haunted.
Yeah, like. Not to take away from Corey, but like, what if she was dealing with some stuff that
What I was thinking when I was reading. I was reading this. I was like, I don't know if he did this on purpose, but the way he set it up, it made it sound like his sister dealt with these things before he did.
Yeah, I know. And it's like, I'm wondering if some of the questions we have would be answered if we knew her story. And that's not fair to Corey. This is his own thing. And I'm not trying to bring her and her experiences.
He set that ball. Yeah, he set that ball.
He pitched it. We had to hit it out now.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly like when you were saying she was feeling depressed first and then it went to him. I think I definitely think she was being affected some way for sure.
Even if she knew it was a spirit or not, like if she was aware of a demonic type entity or not, maybe it had this influence on her.
Yeah.
Because
I think it's definitely possible.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's strong possibility that that could have happened.
So in terms of the dad being attacked?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, the only thing that would make me think that is the fact that the ladder moved. And then I guess he got pinned, kind of.
He did. Well, he said – the story said, quote, was rolled under the table.
He was rolled, like physically pushed.
Yeah.
Mm. You know what? He believes it too, the dad.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's the dad that's like, no, it was windy. And then the grass was slippery, so I rolled. Actually, you know, he's not doing that horror movie dad stuff. Like, I think he would. I mean, I wonder if he would say, "Yeah, I was attacked." You know, I wonder if he would say he was attacked.
I do. I wonder what he would say too. I want also another answer that could be potentially given with another family member's experience.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that so often when this thing is seen. It's initiated with a crash.
Yeah.
And the last crash was explained. It was the door shattering.
Yeah.
The first crash was never explained, right?
In the window?
No.
It was the first.
First house. They heard a loud bang and then they looked and they saw the shadow figure.
Oh, yeah. That was never explained. It was just there.
Yeah. But it's like... All three major occurrences outside of the tree were initiated with a huge crash.
Yeah, that's right. That to me, that's just like something breaking up the normality to.
It's also like not afraid. It's like, hey, I'm here.
Yeah, that's true. It's very confrontational.
It makes it seem like there's similarities between the thing in the first house and the thing in the second.
I don't know if we can even say it's the same thing, but I think there's a chance that it could be this thing that literally torched Alex's life and then moved on to Corey. But why? Why would that happen?
Because it was Alex's house.
Yeah.
In the first experience. It wasn't Corey's house.
Right. Yeah.
I think it's like when he was like, of course it disappeared when the parents came in, I was like, oh, that's like a movie. But the fact that it left remnants.
That's creepy.
That means that the family whether or not they believed it, they saw that something happened.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like it disappeared and left no mark. And they're like, why are you guys, you know, whatever, we're going to be parents about it. You know, it's when they came in and they saw whatever the soot in front of the fireplace, whether or not they believed that it was this shadow figure levitating 2 feet off the ground, they knew something happened.
Yeah.
And we know that something happened.
Yeah. It was almost foreshadowing for the fire.
Yeah. That's a really good point. And also, if there was nothing there and they were imagining it, when the younger sister came out and screamed,
yeah,
she saw something to scream. You don't just walk into a hallway
and scream.
That, like, I hate that this happened to children. Like, you know, it's like if a kid, you've heard like kids like, I watched The Exorcist when I was 7 and I was scarred and now I can't.
Yeah.
Could you imagine seeing this when you're 5?
No.
Like,
no.
I feel so bad. Like, that sucks. But do you think that it is the same thing from Alex's house to now Corey's newer house? Because I think, I don't know if that, like, if it matters, but it's like, there's no way we'll know.
But right. I can't know.
Do you think?
To me, it seems like, yeah, I think it is something that attached there.
I wonder if it got like, I don't want to say like loose, but when the house burned down, if it was kind of like, all right, I'm done here, or it's like now free in a way.
I think that's what happened. I think it was done with Alex at that point, or Alex's family.
But how could they know, or how could it know? Like, what are the chances that it has a new attachment, is attached to Corey, and they just also happened to move into a house with satanic marks?
I don't know.
Is there any chance? And I know when in the scientific world of paint and the laws of physics, it doesn't make sense. Is there any chance those markings weren't there when they moved in and they like kind of grew into the house just by this thing being around?
Physically and scientifically, no. But maybe, I don't know. In a spiritual kind of way, I don't know. I don't know if I've ever heard of that kind of thing happening before, but I don't.
If Annabelle can write notes that disappear from no paper, okay, what if, was there any influence? Like, what if it started permeating in the family ahead of time and this thing somehow influenced the house that they chose?
Or maybe it was maybe it was even worse for the sister than we knew, right? Maybe it was semi-possession and maybe she did it.
The sister chose the house?
No, what if she put the markings on the wall
and then painted it
with the glow in the dark paint? Yeah.
Oh. That's like, it's so random happenstance that they chose to get this black light from this flea market. Like, all, you know, the flea markets are just full of junk and they're just like, hey, let's get that black light.
Yeah.
Fun fact, our statue alien's from a flea market.
Yes, that's true.
You know, Claire was like, you guys going to bring him to the studio? I was like, you know what? I don't know. He'd be a nice little welcoming greeting person right now.
I mean,
out
he's
here.
Cool, but don't you want him in your yard?
He's like 500 pounds.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He's made of concrete.
He's gonna die in the front of the house. So the next owner of this house is going to have that alien there because there ain't no one getting him out. I don't know. This was a very creepy story.
It was.
Very scary. A lot of questions, but not in like, I don't believe it questions, but just like trying. Like, naturally, like, we're storytellers. Humans are storytellers in general. We like to have beginning, middle, end, and we like connection. In mm-hmm. you know, that's
there
why
is connection here.
That's why so many articles are like, this ending explained. Like, we need to know. We want to know why things happen. We need to know the why. And life doesn't always give you the why, but we're going to try our best to give it to you. And we're struggling a little.
I see a lot of YouTube channels have made their money that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I agree. We don't really have an end with this. Just kind of.
Well, I don't even know if it's like, did it immediately disappear? Did it go away with a lot of prayer? Did he deal with this for like 5 years later? Is he still dealing with it? Or was it like, is it like taking your coat off? You just feel better? Is it like peeing? There's no better instant, you know, good feeling than peeing. Like, I don't know. Like,
I wish I had a better answer for the ending, but it comes down to the question, do you find it believable?
I think there's too much. There's too many stories for it not to be believable. I think that even if one of those things is believable, then it's believable.
Yeah, like, it's too heavily saturated to not believe it's believable.
I mean, it could be viable, I guess, but like, I don't know. Like, and there's so many witnesses. Obviously, the dad believed it. They all saw what happened to the dad.
How scary would it be to put your kid and his kid's friend in the bathroom, only have your gun to what you are pretty sure it's probably nothing or a ghost, and you walk around your house for 30 minutes. He was totally on his 007.
Dude, I think he had gun here, flashlight. He's doing this thing.
Like a Call of Duty.
CQC and like Snake.
Yeah.
Especially like what if he did it for show, right? Like he knew it was a ghost, but he was like, I need them to feel safe.
Yeah. 30 minutes? It's a long time. He just grabbed his gun. He's had
it. He's like, all right, guys, locked it. He's sat. He got on his phone. He's like, all right, I'll put a timer for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
I see, for me, I put him in the bathroom. Like, all right, I got to call Uncle Chuck. Got to get a little pew-pew out here. What's your gun called now?
Big Boom.
Big Boom.
We're doing levity. We're doing levity because it's creepy.
It is creepy. I think I could go anywhere between viable and believable. But it's like the kids all saw something that night. The sister, Corey, the dad, Alex. It's a lot of people all kind of experiencing things together.
Yeah.
Even if like some of his – like, okay, we didn't really talk about this. The visions.
Yeah, the visions.
Is there any chance it's just him himself? Like he's in a negative state of mind.
Yeah.
He's been traumatized. Is there any way that it's just his mind playing tricks on him? Yes. I think there's a chance. And could that take it down? Like if that was the main meat of the experience, could that be a viable – I would probably venture skeptical to viable.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like throughout the whole story of his encounters, there's just so much to say it's either all fake or just, you know,
viable. Yeah. A lot of things on top are stacking to make this into something believable for me.
Because we're not really saying is it believable or is it not believable. The majority of this discussion is it demonic or is it something else?
Yeah.
In either way, that means we're saying something's there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm with you. I go believable.
That was a couple creepy listener submissions that were – I'm glad we went over.
Yeah. Thank you, Corey, and thank
Haley.
You, Haley.
Yeah, thank you both for submitting. They were – I hope the first one wasn't just a grudge. I don't think it was because it went over such a long period of time to be these recurring dreams. I don't think it was just the grudge, but it – anyway. They were both creepy stories.
They were good submissions, good stories, terrifying. I hope it was just the grudge for Haley. I hope she's past it and it was just her mind playing tricks on her. And I hope that Corey is doing much better than he was. He kind of started off his note to you with jokes, and maybe that's just the way he breaks up tension.
I think so.
But I hope Corey's doing well. And like you said at the top, just a reminder, if you have some creepy encounters, some personal stories with the paranormal, head to believingthebizarre.com. Go to submit your experience. Please fill out the form with as much detail as possible. If the little text box in the form freaks you out and it makes you feel like you got to condense it, put it somewhere else. Go into a Word document and, just put chat GPT. Tell, like, please write me a very scary story and say it was written by Sally, Sophia. And then just send us that. We won't know. No, but really, just put it in like a document and then command all, copy it, drop it in the form. Maybe that way I get in my own head when I see forms.
Yeah, little boxes.
I need to write this a little bit.
Yeah.
But the more the better, honestly.
Yes.
We love them. We love the stories, and we appreciate it. So if you have those stories, send them our way, and they can be on the podcast.
And if you also love this story like we did, it would mean a lot to us if you went to Apple and you left a review and 5 stars. And if you went to Spotify, you left 5 stars and – there's a little thing that says reply to this specific episode.
What did you think of this episode?
What did you think of this episode? You tell us what you think. Hopefully you liked it.
I on the last episode, I added a poll to it.
You did?
I did. I said, do you find this episode believable? And I'm gonna try to keep doing that. The way we left it as of now, as of the recording, the Boggy Creek Monster currently has a 36% believable, 38% viable, 21% skeptical, and 4% of you thought it was unbelievable. That's probably – there's not much Arkansas has, so I wouldn't take that from them. Also, I guess I cannot remember, but I read these Spotify things before I publish them. I really do. And someone like last episode was like, oh, you didn't mention Resident Evil 4 the remake. And I can't remember saying I was going to. But I'll say it now. I've only had one chance to play with my sister. She's been incredibly busy. Obviously, we've been busy, creating the new studio space. I've only played, if you know the game, I've only got to the point where you save Lewis or you see Lewis for the first time. So that's been my introduction so far to the Resident Evil 4 remake. I love it. It's a gorgeous game. It's so much fun. It's harder than I remember, but I also knew the last one like the back of my hand. And I quickly had no ammo, and I knew what was coming up when you enter the village. And I was like, oh, shit. And I'm like, I'm not going to go in this room because I don't want to alert the chainsaw guy. And the game probably knew that. And it's like, ah, you don't have a chance now, chainsaw guy.
Oh, no.
I was just like, I looked at my sister. I was like, oh, no. But I'm really enjoying it. We play together, and it's like every other week, and we haven't got together again yet. But I'm excited to. So I honestly don't remember saying I was going to say anything about it. But,
not either.
But you know what? Every now and then, maybe I'll look through some questions on there. And
I did see someone said, a quotation said, "You're hurting me, Arkansas man."
I'm sorry, Arkansas man.
Yeah.
Well, we do read them. Maybe we'll save at the end of some of these episodes. We'll talk about some of the things they say just to, you know, might as well make it relevant if you're going to take the time to say something.
Might as well add a little bit of editing time.
Well, this is so unedited. You don't have to edit this.
It's not heavily edited.
No one's listening right now. The only people that are listening right now are people whose hands are dirty. Like, you're
can't
like,
let go.
You're mixing chicken, right? Like, yeah. You've got chicken in a bowl and your hands are oily.
It's like,
or you're driving and you don't want to break the law and you don't want to, you know what I mean? Like, the people that are still listening right now, I feel like you physically can't.
We got you.
And we're prolonging it. And you're like, I just want to get to the next episode. It's like, we got you hostage. I'm just kidding. But seriously, we appreciate you. If you want more bonus content, we already talked about, we're all up on Patreon. New stuff's coming soon. We got stuff going all the way back to May of 2021. Fun games, quizzes, segments. We do movies. We send out shirts. So much bonus content. Check it out. See if there's something that you might like. But with that said, thank you so much for listening. As always, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Charlie.
And catch us next week on Believing the Bizarre.
A podcast as bizarre as you are.